1 John chapter 3, beginning to read at verse 23, and read through the end of chapter 4. 1 John 3, beginning to read at verse 23. And this is His commandment, that we should believe on the name of His Son Jesus Christ, and love one another, as He gave us commandment. And he that keepeth His commandments dwelleth in Him, and He in him, and hereby we know that He abideth in us by the Spirit which He hath given us. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God. Because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God, every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already it is in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through Him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us, and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man hath seen God at any time. We love one another, God dwelleth in us, and His love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in Him, and He is in us, because He hath given us of His Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in Him, and He in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as He is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love Him, because He first loved us. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother, whom he hath seen, how can he love God, whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God, loveth his brother also. Thus far the reading of the Holy and Divine Scripture. It is on the basis of that passage and many others in the Word of God that we have the teaching of our Heidelberg Catechism, in Lord's Day 11. Why is the Son of God called Jesus? that is a Savior, because He saveth us and delivereth us from our sins, and likewise because we ought not to seek, neither can we find salvation in any other. Do such then believe in Jesus, the only Savior, who seek their salvation and welfare of saints, of themselves, or anywhere else? They do not. For though they boast of Him in words, yet in deeds they deny Jesus, the only Deliverer and Savior. For one of these two things must be true: either that Jesus is not a complete Savior, or that they who by a true faith receive this Savior must find all things in Him necessary to their salvation. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, in the passage in 1 John chapter 4, which we read in connection with our text, Lord's Day 11, the Holy Spirit forbids the believer to be gullible and naive. The people of God, of course, are sensitive and they are without guile, but they are not gullible and they are not naive. They are spiritually sensitive, of course, to the truth. They know the truth. They themselves confess the truth. Being spiritually sensitive to the truth, they are spiritually sensitive to the confession of that truth in others, and they love them. If a man confesses the same truth as I do, I love that man. That's the spiritual sensitivity of the believer. That's the effect of his faith, whereby he knows the truth. He knows also those who confess it in truth. But they are not gullible, and they are not naive. The apostle indeed forbids them from being gullible and naive. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God. He is speaking there of the believer's testing of another's confession and teaching with regard to the Word of God. He says that that is necessary because there are many false prophets that are gone out into the world. There are many, and there have been many since the day of the Apostle John, who say, I believe too in Jesus. I believe the truth. I confess the truth. And I teach the truth. The Apostle John says that those many false prophets, calculating and deliberately corrupt the name and confession of Jesus in the interest of their own false doctrine. They use that name of Jesus and they use the name of the truth as imposters and as imitators and as a cover for their own false doctrine. That happened in a very dramatic way recently. The newest Roman idol, Pope Francis, about whom and for whom virtually the entire world falls over itself. He made a plea for the unity and love between all Christians, because we all believe in Jesus. Of course, he's right in principle. If we all believe in Jesus, then we must also all love one another. That's his commandment. This is his commandment, that ye believe in the name of his Son and ye love one another. Faith in Jesus is the command of God to every single human being. They must believe in him. And if they believe in him, they must also love those who believe in him. So that's a question. Who believes in Jesus? Is a vital question for the believer. It's vital for him because the command of God is that ye believe in Jesus and ye love those who believe in him. If a man believes in Jesus, I must love that man for God's sake. Of course, if he doesn't, I have no fellowship with that man. And John then must speak about the infallible standard according to which you and I can try the spirits. We try a man's confession that he believes in Jesus. That is what John is talking about. He is talking about trying the spirit that says, I believe in Jesus. Now, what is the infallible standard according to which we judge and we try the spirits? This. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. Every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist. Thus also the Catechism. The Catechism does not simply teach us what the name of Jesus means. There are two things in the Catechism. There is the teaching of the Catechism that the name of Jesus means certain things. And there is the testing, the trying of the confession of many that say, I believe in Jesus. Do they believe in Jesus? Try their confession, says the Catechism. You may do that. You must do that. You may not be gullible and naive with regard to one's confession to believe in Jesus. Do they believe in Jesus who seek their salvation and welfare of saints, of themselves, or anywhere else? And so we must do two things today. We must understand, first of all, what the name of Jesus means. What is the revelation of that name? What is the truth of that name? And do they believe in Jesus who seek their salvation and welfare of saints or of themselves or anywhere else? We must try the Spirit, whether they be of God. Let's consider then this Lord's Day under that theme, Jesus the only Savior. Notice first of all the revelation of his name. Notice secondly his complete salvation. And notice finally trying the spirits by him. The Catechism asks us the question, why is the Son of God called Jesus? You understand that question is not, why do men call Jesus Jesus? That question is not, why do men call Jesus the Son of God? That question is, why did God call his Son Jesus? Mary didn't name him Jesus. Joseph didn't name him Jesus. The angel Gabriel did not name him Jesus. God named him Jesus. God said by means of the angelic messenger, thou shalt call his name Jesus. And God also gave the interpretation of that name, for he shall save his people from their sins. That name of Jesus means something. That name of Jesus isn't like our personal names, merely to distinguish one from another. It's one of the effects of sin, that names no longer have the meaning like they did in the Bible. Names in the Bible are not merely distinguishing marks, but in certain individuals in the Bible, those names mean something. Adam was called Adam because he was taken up out of the dirt. Adam called Eve Eve because she was the mother of all living. And that's true also of the names of God and of the names of Jesus. Those names are revelations. They teach us the essence of the one who bears that name. We can learn all that we need to know about them merely from their name. The name of Jesus too then, it's not merely his personal name. It doesn't merely distinguish Jesus from his brethren, Judas or James, or from his mother, Mary, or from every other single human being, but that name reveals the essence of that one who bears it. It expresses the truth about him. And that name, then, and knowing that name is important. Because then you know the truth about Jesus. What does that name Jesus mean? What is the revelation of that name? That name, first of all, very simply, just means Jehovah salvation. It's the very same name as the name Joshua in the Old Testament. Jehovah salvation. And if that name is born by Jesus in the same way that Joshua, say, bore that name, then that name simply expresses the truth that salvation is of Jehovah. Jesus bears that name uniquely. He bears that name as no other person can bear that name. He bears that name as that name was given to him by God, and as that name reveals who he is. He is Jesus. He's God. He's God. He's not just a man. He is not a God-intoxicated man. He is not a God-man. He is God. The maker of the world. The Word who was with God and who is God. He is the one by whom all things were made and for whom all things were made. He is the one about whom John says, he came or is come in the flesh. That is very important. He is come in the flesh. When he came, that was not the beginning of his existence. He came. He did not begin to be. He was already before all worlds in eternity. Second person of the Trinity, the Word. God called his Son Jesus because his Son is God. Secondly, He called his son Jesus because he is God in the form necessary to save us. In the words of the apostle, he is come in the flesh. By the flesh, he means human nature. All that makes man, man. By that he means the body. By that he means the human spirit. By that he means the human mind and the human will. Jesus is come in the flesh. He is God made flesh, so that in that man, Jesus, dwelt all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. He is Jehovah who has come unto his people, who has come in the form that was necessary to save his people. He is Jehovah come in fulfillment of his covenant promise, so that all the words of Jehovah concerning the salvation of his people are fulfilled in that man, Jesus Christ. So that when God calls him Jesus, God calls him salvation. God said, this is Jesus. He's saying nothing less than this. All salvation is in that one. To believe in him is to believe in me. To know him is to know me. To be saved by him is to be saved by me. When God called him Jesus, God was saying that salvation is of the Lord. That's this name Jesus is nothing less than the declaration of the entire gospel of salvation by grace. The name Jesus is the declaration that all the promises of God are yea and amen in him, that not one word of God fell to the ground. In that name of Jesus, then, is the declaration not only that he is the Savior, but he is the only Savior. God called him Jesus. He said, we ought not seek, neither can salvation be found in any other. And that's because he's a complete Savior. He is the Savior, the only Savior, because he is the complete Savior. God called him Jesus because he saves us. Not he wants to save us. Not he tried to save us. Not he desires to save. He saved us. Salvation is wrapped up in that man. What is salvation? Salvation is very simply the deliverance from the greatest evil into the greatest good. If salvation for a man is deliverance from his poverty, is deliverance from his debt, is deliverance from his disease, is deliverance from the evilness of the human condition. If that's salvation for a man, this Jesus has no flavor for him, no taste to him. He's a Savior from sin. Sin is the greatest evil. The guilt of sin, whereby a man, and by God's just judgment, was cast out of the presence of God for his transgression of the law of God. The guilt of sin is the greatest evil. And on account of that guilt of sin, that man is bound under the power of sin, so that all that man can will or do is sin. That's the greatest evil. He's a Savior He's a complete Savior from sin, from the guilt of sin, so that He frees absolutely from the condemnation of God. And He's a Savior from the pollution and the dominion of sin, so that the man whom He frees from the guilt of sin, and the woman whom He frees, and the child whom He frees, is then freed also from the bondage. Not slaves to sin. They're made clean from the pollution of that sin. So that He saves not only from the greatest evil, but He saves into the greatest good. And what is the greatest good? The greatest good, the only good, is God. That's what the Apostle John is talking about throughout the entire chapter. What is salvation? Salvation is to be one with God. That God dwells in us and we in Him. Salvation is simply the covenant. That's what John is teaching. Salvation is the covenant in which we are friends of God, and God is friends with us. If God is not the only good, then this Jesus has very little taste. No taste. He's bitter to a man. If the good in my life is to be healed from my disease, to be rich in the world's things, to have an important place in the world, to have an impossibly large savings account so I don't have to worry about earthly problems. If that's good, then this Jesus has no taste. He's a Savior. He's a Savior from sin into fellowship with the triune God, so that He brings me out of my death in which I existed in Adam, and He brings me out of my sin in which I lay under the curse of death, and He brings me into fellowship with God, so that God takes His abode with me and He dwells with me and He cares for me and He loves me. He's favorable toward me. God called Him Jesus because the triune God in that man, Jesus, accomplished the wonder work of salvation. It was a wonder work in which He perfectly accomplished salvation. That's the first part of that work. He has to accomplish it. Salvation is a work that must be done, and He did it. He accomplished the complete deliverance of the sinner from his guilt by paying the debt that that guilt deserves. And by accomplishing the complete obedience to the law of God, there's nothing for man to do in order to obey God to be saved. That's why John says, God's commandment to us is to believe in the name of His Son. That's His commandment to us. His commandment is believe in the name of my Son. Why is that? Because faith is the fulfillment of the commandments. Not because faith is itself a work, but because faith puts me in connection with Jesus Christ and with the righteousness of Christ and all that God requires. That's His commandment. Believe on the name of His Son. His Son did everything necessary for salvation. He accomplished absolutely every bit of it. He earned every benefit by His blood, by His sweat, by His tears, by His massive labor of redemption. And he accomplished salvation in us. He's a complete Savior because he not only accomplished salvation for us, but he accomplishes salvation in us. Salvation is not only the work of Jesus Christ outside of us, but salvation is the work of Jesus Christ within us, in which he takes all that he accomplished and he applies that to the sinner. The Catechism teaches this when the Catechism says all salvation is found in him. It's in him. And if I am to possess salvation, I must be made one with him in that salvation given to me. In order to have salvation, Christ has to work a work whereby he takes all that he earned on the cross. He takes the redemption. He takes the regeneration. He takes the justification, the sanctification. He takes the faith. He earned all that on the cross, and he has to apply that to us. He does that. That doesn't depend on us. He does that. That's really what salvation is. Salvation is Christ in me. It's his life in me. It's his righteousness given to me. It's his sanctification in me. That's why John says we are in him and he in us. Salvation is the inness of the sinner. With Jesus Christ, joined to him by a true and a living faith. And if he is to be a complete Savior then, if he is to be a Savior at all, then those for whom he accomplished that salvation must be the exact same ones as those to whom he gives the salvation. Christ simply accomplished salvation. And he gives it to no one. He's not a Savior. But isn't that what the Arminian Christ is? The Arminian boasts of Christ. He's always talking about Jesus. Preaches whole sermons about Jesus. Jesus saved, Jesus saved, Jesus saves. Jesus did this and Jesus did that. If you believe. Is that a Savior? That Jesus saves nobody. That Jesus' work is all in vain. That Jesus' work is a vain work on the cross that he can give to nobody. Except a man open his heart, let him in. And that's not salvation by Jesus. That's salvation by man. A Jesus that accomplishes salvation for everybody and applies it to nobody is no Savior. He's a worthless and a vain Jesus. No Jesus at all. Either this, either all of salvation is in him, both the accomplishment of it and the application of it, or he is no Savior at all. And that's very simply the truth of election, governing the entire salvation of. That's what John says governs salvation in Jesus. This is love. Not that we loved him. That's Arminianism. John denies that Arminianism is the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is not love that we loved him. There's no love at all. That's work and labor by man. That's vain. And no gospel. This is love. That he loved us. God called him Jesus. in His love for us, to declare to us, salvation is of the Lord entirely and completely. Not at all of man. Indeed. Man, as man, wants nothing of this Jesus. Man may try to use His name. Man may declare, I believe in Jesus, but does he? If a man says, I believe in Jesus, but that man's doctrine is that salvation is found in man's will, or salvation is found in man's work, or salvation is found somewhere else besides Jesus, does that man believe in Jesus? Many say, I believe in Jesus. John says there are many false prophets going out into the world. Many. Not a few, many. And they aren't declaring a faith in Satan. They say we speak the truth. We speak the name of Jesus. We speak the word of God. And he calls them a spirit. He says, try the spirits. What he's saying is try men. Try their confession, but he calls them spirits because they don't speak of their own power. There is a spiritual power behind them, which he calls later on the spirit of error. And he calls them a spirit because they don't declare plainly that they speak a lie. If they declared plainly that we speak a lie, then they'd be easy to discern. But they come covering their doctrine with the name of Jesus. And there's an even sharper application of that. They come covering their doctrine with the name Reformed. We're Reformed. We believe the Reformed faith. You have to admit that to believe the Reformed faith is to believe in Jesus. So a man says he believes in Jesus. So a man says that he's reformed. So a man says, I believe the truth. Try the spirits. How? By his name. You try the spirits by his name. By the truth that that name reveals. If the Pope says, I believe in Jesus, and he does, and he speaks for millions who believe the same doctrine as he does. If the Pope says, I believe in Jesus, and his followers say, we believe in Jesus, but they find their salvation and their welfare in Mary, in prayers to the saints, in the work that they work in obedience to the law of God and not in Jesus. They find their salvation in the Mass, which is an accursed idolatry and a denial of the one sacrifice of Christ. Do they believe in Jesus? If a man says, I believe in Jesus, as James Arminius says, and as his legions of followers say today, Billy Graham used to say, we believe in Jesus, we declare Jesus, but they teach that a man does not receive Jesus unless that man accepts Jesus into his heart. Does he believe in Jesus? If a man says, I believe in Jesus, but he loves not the brethren, he says, I love God and I love Jesus, but I don't love the brethren. I don't love that man in the church. I don't love my wife or my husband. I don't love my children. Does he believe in Jesus? Try the spirits, whether they be of God. For this is his commandment, that we believe in him, and that we love one another. The faith that believes in Jesus, that unites the believer with Jesus, and that receives Christ and his salvation, is the very same faith that loves the brethren. To say I believe in Jesus isn't just words. It's a doctrine. To say I believe in Jesus is to confess Jesus Christ as the revelation of God, and therefore to confess the entirety of revealed truth. To say I believe in Jesus means that Jesus is the revelation of God as the Lord of one's life. To say I believe in Jesus means that I find in that one and him alone all my salvation. In him I rest time and eternity, because he's a perfect Savior. To say I believe in Jesus is simply the confession of true faith and the life that follows from it. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they be of God. For this is the Spirit of God, if a man confess that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank thee for the name of Jesus Christ, wherein is revealed the entirety of our salvation, and that it is thy work and thy gift from election to faith to glorification. We thank thee that thou hast caused us to know him, to confess his name, and may we try the spirits by that name, whether they be of thee or no. We ask thee, Lord, that thou wilt bless the preaching of the word to us. Hear us for Jesus' sake. Amen. Four hundred one. Let's sing stanzas 1 through 3. 401.